The ship sways back and forth, rhythmically rocking with the waves, pushed forward by the musty, salt-filled trade winds. This ship is a merchant ship, sent from England bound for China. They have a single goal in mind, and that's to secure precious Chinese goods such as tea, silk, and porcelain, all of which the British have become completely enamored with. There is one problem. Thanks to strict trading laws and a lack of interest in British goods. But thanks to the honorable East Indian Company, they have found a valuable good. They have found a good that's both valuable and desired in China. The only issue was this good is highly illegal, so stashed beneath woolen textiles, tobacco, and sugar, it waits to be smuggled through the ports to an underground trading route where it'll be released into the Chinese public at large. This substance is called opium, and a long-standing struggle among drug trafficking has extended its influence past Britain and China to the Middle East and the U.S. The struggle with opium may have started in the 1800s, but the earliest found reference of opium use is in 3400 BC in Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq and Kuwait, where they refer to the poppy's bright red flowers as the hugol or the joy plant. Cultivation of poppies and opium use spread to ancient Greece, Egypt, and Persia, where it was believed to have healing powers. Whether the narcotic be a natural plant-based or synthetically man-made chemicals, the U.S. has witnessed an influx of opioid addiction within recent years, and opium use has completely skyrocketed to nearly out-of-control levels. The United States is consuming the most habit-forming drug per capita. The National Institute on Drug Abuse estimates that 26 out of 36 million people worldwide abuse opiates, and in the U.S., an estimate of 2.1 million people abuse prescription opioid pain relievers. There's no definitive one type of opioid. Fact is split into three categories: opiates, synthetic opioids, and semi-synthetic opioids. With all these different types of narcotics being prescribed to patients and addictions forming quickly, the hospital and emergency centers have their work cut out for them. She lay in the bed of the emergency room, listening to the ticking of the clock and the beeping of hospital equipment, carts being pushed on wheels. The antiseptic smell of the sheets and floor were almost too much to bear. It was sickly clean. Her arm lay across her stomach. The forearm, swollen with a large bruise, began to form. Her whole arm was probably going to be bruised. Nauseous from the pain, she was beginning to half regret what she did. The doctor was reviewing the x-ray they had taken of her arm. She was waiting for them to get back to tell her it was broken. Something she already knew, but you need a doctor to tell you that in order to get a prescription. When he came in, he informed her that it was quite a fall she took down the stairs as he wrote it out. She had told them she fell when really she broke her own arm to get the prescription. Leaving the hospital, she took a cab back to a little Midwest house in a farming town that sits on the edge of a wheat field where she lives with her roommate. She is part of the 70% increase in prescription opioid abuse in this region. She is the 11% who have developed an opioid use disorder. She can be part of the 6% of patients who started out misusing opioids that could transition to heroin. 80% of heroin abusers abuse prescription pain relief drugs first. She takes the medication, one pill after the other, to get the feeling she wants. The one she broke her arm for. Her heart slows, breathing rate slows, drowsiness sets in as the world begins to fade away. She becomes one of the 30% of people who overdose and will likely become one of the 330 people who die from overdosing every day in the United States alone.